Okay, so hello everyone. XFT is joint work with my students Shengyun Liu and Paolo Viotti and my colleagues Christian Kashan and Vivian Kema. So what this talk is about is fault tolerance, and essentially fault tolerance is about building systems that work correctly despite machine and network faults, in short. So what machine faults, and typically when we build fault tolerance system, we consider two models. One is the crash faults, right? And we treat these with crash fault tolerant model. And the other type of machine faults are non-crash faults, which are also known as Byzantine faults. So these encompass all data losses, misconfiguration, bugs, et cetera, that bring production systems down. And they also encompass malicious behavior. So we'll call this non-crash faults in this talk. Network faults basically reflect the inability of otherwise correct machines to communicate in a timely manner. So basically here you have an example of two such machines, and because of the slow network essentially, or even the dropped packets, basically the machine that sends the initial message cannot receive the response. And what's difficult in fault tolerance is to distinguish this from the case where basically the other machine is actually crash faulty, for example. So basically if we have in this example of three machines, if two machines can communicate synchronously and the other cannot communicate with them, we call that third machine a partition machine. So basically, this is XFT in one slide. So what is XFT is a new fault tolerance model. So many of you have built, designed, and implemented protocols in the crash fault tolerant model, and some of you have done it in a BFT model. And hopefully after this talk, you will be wanting to design new protocols in the XFT model. So what XFT gives you is essentially, it works across two fault modes, hence the name XFT, cross fault tolerance. So in absence of non-crash faults, your XFT protocol will give you all the guarantees of your favorite asynchronous CFT protocol with the same threshold without additional machines. But when non-crash faults actually do happen, what XFT protocol would give you is if you give you fault tolerance guarantees as long as the number of faulty or partitioned machines is within a threshold. So this is different. We typically put only faulty machines within a threshold. So here we put, in this case, faulty or partitioned machine in a threshold. So basically it looks something like this, right? So the sum of this all faulty and partitioned machines should be lower than the threshold. And what we also do in this paper is, to be more concrete, we take a particular problem, because what I said, so XFT is applicable to any problem. We take a concrete problem, which is state machine replication, and we implement a new protocol in the XFT model that is almost as efficient as optimized, actually, crash fault tolerant protocol. So basically that additional guarantees come nearly for free. So I will start the talk by basically comparing crash fault tolerant state machine replication and BFT state machine replication. Basically, we will review state of the art very quickly and see where the problem with BFT actually lies in. So essentially, state of the art, CFT works on 2T plus 1 replicas to tolerate T faults, and BFT needs T replicas more. Patterns of message patterns of CFT protocols are efficient. Here you see the Paxos for T equals 1, and it can be optimized to use one replica less to make it a passive replica, so it looks really efficient like this. In contrast, state-of-the-art BFT looks something like this. Without diving into reasons why this is so, you can see that it uses more replicas, it uses more messages, and basically is more inefficient. So, about the guarantees. When we talk about the guarantees of crash fault tolerant and Byzantine fault tolerant protocols, we are going to talk about these four quadrants here. So on the x-axis, you have two cases when there are network faults. This is the right column, basically. And the left column is where there are no network faults. On the y-axis, you have machine faults. So in the upper part of the y-axis, we are going to talk about guarantees under non-crash faults. And bottom part, we'll talk about guarantees under crash faults. So for crash fault tolerance, picture looks like this. For state machine replication, crash fault tolerance state machine replication, picture looks like this. So guarantees are consistency despite any number of machine faults. And also availability with a minority, basically, of machine faults, right? And the performance is such that you're used all over the place. So these protocols are used in many, many production systems today. In this quadrant, basically with crash faults and with network faults, we have consistency despite any number of faulty or partitioned machines. And we have availability so long as we have a kind of correct and synchronous majority. Unfortunately, we don't have any guarantees in these two quadrants, which is why we build BFT protocols. So BFT has these guarantees. So it preserves some, but not all, guarantees of crash fault tolerance. So it preserves consistency in the lower two quadrants. It basically adds consistency and availability up to one-third, with up to one-third of faulty machines. And basically, in the quadrant where we have also network faults, BFT shines. So it has really good properties and consistency with up to one-third of machine faults and any number of partitioned machines. And availability is basically when correct and synchronous majority is actually a two-third majority. So the problem with BFT is that it actually is not strictly stronger than CFT. It might come as a surprise, right? But actually, this is because of these different thresholds. So availability is weaker than that of CFT. And consequently, like, performance and cost is not as good as that of crash fault tolerance. So there is basically one reason why this is so. So what I will do in this slide is I will present a textbook lower bound on why we cannot implement BFT protocol with basically less than 3T plus 1 nodes. So here I have an example of storage. T is 1, and we are trying to implement BFT storage, asynchronous BFT storage with only 3 replicas. And we'll see why it doesn't work, and it will also inform how we came to the idea to propose XFT. So Alice wants to send a message to Bob, but because of her message reaches just 2 of machines, so 2 replicas, because of a network fault to the bottom replica. And basically, Alice's write protocol needs to complete without waiting for this third replica because it might be faulty and Alice wouldn't know this. So now we introduce a non-crash fault. It's a data loss fault. So it's the one that you cannot easily protect against even with authentication. So basically, this guy forgets whatever Alice wrote to it. And then Bob comes and tries to read from these basically 3 replicas, but because of asynchrony and network partition, it cannot reach the uppermost replica. And Bob's protocol is basically cannot distinguish this case from the case where Alice didn't actually write anything, which is why Bob's protocol needs to complete and actually return null, and this violates consistency. So basically, we worked very hard. So you see that this is a lower bound proof, but it worked very hard. And it doesn't actually help. So here, it doesn't actually help if these 2 replicas communicate, because you can introduce another network partition between them, so you prevent messages from going through. So you cannot really help with this. So we worked really hard, and we introduced concurrently non-crash faults and network partitions to make basically BFT require 3T plus 1. And this is what we want. So basically, the overhead of BFT comes from providing consistency in this obscure case when you have non-crash faults, but not too many of them. But basically, the total number of faults and partitions is very high. So we thought in the XFT, basically, that in many cases, this is not exactly the very relevant case for which we would want to pay the premium for BFT. So this is why in XFT, essentially, we basically have this parameter in the model where we, within the threshold, we count both faulty machines and the partition machines. So the quadrants picture for XFT looks like this. So it preserves all the guarantees of CFT protocol. And then it gives more. So in this quadrant, so without network faults and with non-crash faults, it will give you consistency and availability with up to any minority, basically, of machine faults. And this is strictly stronger than BFT. And availability is the same, right? It's strictly stronger because of this threshold that goes to any minority of faulty or partition machines. And what's weaker than BFT is just this corner case, where consistency is weaker in simultaneous presence of faulty and partition machines, of non-crash faulty and partition machines. So basically, to make a showcase for XFT, we designed and implemented XPaxos. And XPaxos is an efficient message pattern. I won't go into detail, so the idea is that you go and read the paper, but I will just give you an intuition and also show you that the message patterns are very efficient. So we had Paxos T equals one message pattern on the left side, X Paxos message pattern is on the right side. You can see it's very similar. And what we add is essentially digital signatures, if you want, on some messages in the common case. For T equals two, Paxos, like crash fault tolerant Paxos, is again on the left side, and X Paxos is on the right side. So again, bold messages are essentially digitally signed messages, and there are some additional messages like F plus one replies to the client, but this can be lightweight because this can be essentially digest of the reply to the client. So there is a very small overhead. What we needed to do, so basically when we designed X Paxos, common case was simple. So we put essentially signatures on optimized Paxos in the common case. View change and reconfiguration leader change essentially is more involved because there is a problem in traditional view chains. For example, I have here example of X Paxos execution that orders requests across only two replicas, but then there is a non-crash fault. And essentially, there is a view change. So we could reconfigure, and we should essentially replicate over the bottom two replicas in the next view. So if you do typical view change through the leader only, then basically you might have this case where this replica that didn't hear what happened in the view one asks only the leader who is actually non-crash faulty, and it gets response that would normally violate consistency. So we had to change the view change protocol such that it's more decentralized, and in which replicas like talk more in all-to-all fashion, right? So the view change is decentralized. It's not centralized. So here, in view change, replicas would wait for at least one response, and here where is the essentially synchrony comes into the play, it would also wait for a timer to expire. So there is a timeout, connection timeout to other replicas, and a given replica would wait for replies within a timeout, including at least one response. And the idea is that if there are no too many network faults and non-crash faults combined, the replica would learn what happened in the previous view. So we deployed, to get some numbers, we deployed the X Paxos with other protocols on geo-replication playground. This is standard, so red dots essentially point to the rough locations where we deployed virtual machines. And one problem that we had was deciding what the value of this timeout is. So essentially to kind of learn what's a meaningful value, we run this experiment, so which is also a nice side result. So we run a TCP ping among six machines, both on Amazon EC2 and IBM SoftLayer. So this is pinging, every machine pings it, every other machine every 100 milliseconds for 3 months. So we wanted to learn like what latency looks like. And essentially the average latency, which is on this side here, is more or less what you know from all the papers on geo-replication. What's interesting is the tail latency, and tail latency much less depends on actual physical distance between virtual machines. So it's an interesting result. But what we saw is that 99.99 latency is always less than 2.5 seconds. And we got very similar results on IBM SoftLayer, so essentially in the same ballpark. So we picked this as our timeout for connections. You can see that this is not a huge timeout, although the maximum latency is even up to 3 minutes. But the 4.9 latency is very reasonable. And these are the numbers. So we kind of hack into ZooKeeper, replacing ZooKeeper Atomic Broadcast ZAB with different protocols. And of course, the latency, this is the latency throughput plot, and the latency will depend a lot on where you place replicas. So take this, with a grain of salt, although we took a typical deployment for this experiment. But what's interesting is basically the state-of-the-art BFT is clusterized, and it's less efficient than X Paxos and crash fault tolerance, which is basically very close to each other. So our implementation of X Paxos, because it's optimized for high throughput on wide area networks, actually can beat crash fault tolerant ZooKeeper Atomic Broadcast, and it's very similar to our optimized version of Paxos, and basically this difference is your overhead of digital signatures. So a final slide is essentially where and when would you want to use XFT? So straightforward answer is hardening crash fault tolerant systems. So you have your crash fault tolerant system and you want to harden it against non-crash faults. And these are accidental, so these are kind of unrelated to each other. And this is where you would want to do it. You would want to do it on wide area networks and geo-replicated systems, and more generally, in any case when the adversary cannot control the network among correct processes and correct machines at will, right? So it's not this evil guy, but it's more like this less powerful guy, right? And what's also a nice use case is permission blockchain. Right, so we have very nice emerging application of anything related to Byzantine fault tolerance in permission blockchains. And I happen to be lucky to be working on the Hyperledger project recently, so this is where we plan to actually deploy both XFT and some variants of BFT. So with that, I will take questions and basically ask anybody who is interested in this sort of stuff and finds interest in these keywords to find me and talk to me after the talk or during the poster session. Thank you.
Some Byzantine questions from people. You had to ask a Byzantine question, didn't you? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Manos Kapritsos from University of Michigan. You said before that this less powerful devil guy doesn't have to control the network, but it seems to me that, you know, if he's a malicious person that cannot control the network, they could still wait until they detect that the network is partitioned and then introduce the failure, the commission failure.
Yes, so there are two answers to this question. There is something I haven't talked about, which is the fault detection that we have in the X-Paxos. So basically, roughly speaking, fault detection in X-Paxos works that if there is an attack that would hurt you when there is too many faults, we would detect it when there is not too many faults, right? So basically, in your example, this attacker would need to succeed in the very first, when it mounts the attack for the very first time, right? And the second part of the answer, if you have such an attacker and such a deployment where this is actually possible, well, you might need BFT. Some people complain about BFT, it's useless, but in your example, you would actually use asynchronous BFT full-fledged.
All right, thank you.
Quick question.
Hi, Dan Ports, University of Washington. First of all, this is a really interesting trade-off here. Thanks for exploring it. My question is about the cost of cryptography. There's been a lot of work in BFT work in the past that optimized for reducing the number of cryptographic operations and replacing digital signatures with authenticators. It looks like you're using digital signatures here, but not seeing a large performance hit from doing so. Do you have a sense of why that is?
Yes. So basically, it's impossible without digital signatures. We can relate this to the impossibility of synchronous BFT without, you know, 3T plus 1 and stuff. So it's actually, you have to use digital signatures, but in practice, the overhead is, in many cases, not big. So we did digital signatures in software. So implementation is in Java. Signatures are JNI'd. Basically, Crypto++ library in C++ was JNI'd to Java to speed it up. But this is all in software and all on normal virtual machines, right? We are not even exploring using secure coprocessors to really, really speed up digital signatures or like stuff like FPGAs, ASIC, and this sort of stuff. So I don't think in practice that this would be, so this is of course a cost, so this is what costs you when you want to use XFT, but I don't think it's a showstopper in practice.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Marco.